Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by your friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. As you spend time this weekend with family and friends, that's a great time to think about a grand gathering with the extended family at a Disney destination. Seriously, your friends and family probably talk to you about the fun times you have on your Disney trips. Bring everybody along in 2017. Plant the seed today. You can drop by themagicforless.com, fill out a free no-obligation quote, and an agent will get back to you right away to see about maybe not just going with your immediate family, but maybe making some memories with the grandparents, maybe aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, who knows, just friends and family. The more the merrier, especially when you're going on a Disney cruise or heading to Walt Disney World or Disneyland. Just drop by themagicforless.com today. An agent will take care of you right away. Check them out today and support the folks who support us over at themagicforless.com. It's that time of the year when many of us start looking at planning for 2017 and beyond, whether it's an upcoming trip to Disney World or Disneyland, or a review of your 401k, investment portfolio, or retirement plan. Today's episode is proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew and his team tried to bring the Disney difference in high level of service to all of his clients. If you would like a second set of eyes to help guide you into next year, then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprise advisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1110 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMilesRadio.com. Happy Christmas Eve Eve to everybody. That's right. If you're like me, it is panic time. It's about time to start your Christmas shopping. So get out there, take us with you, and enjoy all the rest of the people who are out there looking like deers in headlights at Walgreens tonight at about midnight, trying to justify that this is the best chia pet ever in the history of mankind.
Yes, absolutely. That packet of legs is like legs. Be a good remember legs?
Yes. No, hey, remember Freezy Freakies? Pam, did you have Freezy Freakies?
No, I saw you post about that. I had no idea what you were talking about.
I don't know what they are either.
Okay, so everybody was asking me on Facebook, and I saw them posted by KDH on Twitter, somebody was just talking to, and what they were when we were kids, my grandparents got them for myself, my sister, and my two cousins. Like, we were the four kids in the family on the Rallman side. In their gloves, just regular gloves, but when you take them out and they're exposed to extreme cold, they, like, light up like a robot would light up. Or, you know, it'd say, like, let it snow or something. But it was kind of like, remember those hyper-color shirts that you would wear? And, like, when the sun hit them, they would change colors. They still sell them, like, in Grand Cayman. Or, like, when it gets hot. I think it's sun-activated. Maybe it's heat. But these were the opposite. Like, if you put them in the freezer, like, they would have these images on them. But once they got warm, like, you went inside, boom, they would disappear. So they were Freezy Freakies. And there's a website, freezyfreaky.com. So check it out. In order, they're expensive, though. So anyway, let's get to the show. We're not here to talk about 1980s glove fashion. We're here to talk Disney. So Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, touringplans.com, and the Mouse for Less. What's up, Ricky?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but that's par for the course for me. So, you know,
you are a youngster among oldsters. Yeah,
I am a youngster. So at least it's nice that I feel like a youngster here because I certainly don't feel like a youngster at work. So
that's right.
I am one of the old people at work, which is the scary part.
That is kind of because I'd be like grandpa there. That's not good.
Right. Yes, you would.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, you getting ready for a beautiful Pennsylvania Christmas?
We are. It won't be super beautiful. It'll kind of be kind of dreary, but our spirits will not be dreary. So, I mean, I love this time of year. I'm really looking forward to spending some time with family and just sucking it all in, trying to create some new Christmas traditions this year. We try to add something to the mix each year. So I'm adding something this year that I'm still kind of working on. So it'll be ready. It'll be ready though.
So we've been doing this show, you know, for, it'll be 9 years come March. So we've been together for quite a year, quite a few Christmas seasons at this point. And you've shared, you know, many family traditions. Pam has, Ricky has, I have. But Pam, I'm curious. So is the Christmas shot still a thing? Because, you know, when we started this, I wasn't a fan of the shot, but I think I could probably hang with Steve now, maybe if I had to for just like one round.
We will make sure to text you on Christmas Day so that you can participate in the Christmas shot. No, the Christmas shot has also expanded into other holidays. So now it has become the holiday shot. My stepdad, whatever holiday it is, it's like, it's the Easter shot. And I'm like, I don't know about that.
It's the Arbor Day shot. Come on, let's do that.
So it's whatever holiday you're celebrating. There was a Thanksgiving shot. I can't remember if it was tequila or whiskey because I don't typically participate in the shot. I'm not really a good shot drinker for most of the time. But sometimes I will, every now and then. They did do the Thanksgiving shot. So anyways, it's expanded. It's a multi-holiday shot at this point, and we leave no holiday behind. We're an equal opportunity shot takers.
Well, you know, that's in true Disney fashion. You know what? If you have something, you have a golden goose, milk it until it dies. You know, that's kind of how
we're going to try to extend it into 18 months.
That's it. Can the Christmas shot start in September? I'm just saying.
Absolutely. We'll start next year's now.
That's exactly. Anyway, we love Disney. It's just so much fun to talk about. That's why we have the show. Anyway, so we're going to talk about do's and don'ts for those quick weekend trips. So maybe a long weekend. Sometimes you get off Monday for like Martin Luther King or President's Day, or, you know, you just have some vacation days stocked up and maybe you're going to take a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And Ricky, I know that you do this frequently. You tend to not really go down for like a week at a time. You tend to go for many, you know, extended weekend trips. So let's talk about, give us a do. What's something, we'll talk do's and don'ts. So give us a do that you would specifically do for a short or long weekend trip, but not a long vacation.
I am the queen of weekend trips.
I know. This is up your alley here.
I do them all the time. Cause you know, it works best. So, you know, one of my do's is I make sure that I do make some fast pass appointments, reservations.
That was like you're right getting your tooth like inspected.
Yeah, exactly.
At the dentist, what was that? Tooth inspected.
Well, you know, it is the holiday season when you have the elf that wanted to be a dentist.
That's true.
I was thinking of Herbie.
Herbie, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking of. Well, I know that I, you know, especially because I plan my weekend trips so short notice, I know that I'm not going to get everything that I want. So I know that I'm not going to get, Frozen Ever After. I just know that that's not going to happen. And I know I'm not going to get Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, but for the most part, most of the time when I make my fast passes, even if it's a week out or, you know, a couple days out, I can pretty much work around my schedule and get just about anything that I want. So that's my number one, like, you know, make sure you make a few fast passes on those weekend trips so you have them set up and you're ready to go and you can hit the ground running.
Good tip. All right, here's my first do. My first do is eat counter service restaurants more than table service restaurants, because the thing is, your time is at a premium. When you think about it, you know, if you're there for 4 days, you're talking, you know, less than 100 hours. So when you break it down, you're going to be sleeping for maybe 7, or maybe if it's a race weekend, 3 or 4 hours a night. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's going to eat into your time. So the thing is, as much as you like to slow down, savor the place, really try new restaurants that maybe are an experience in themselves, you know, something like a Jiko or an Ohana, those take a lot of time. And if you really want to see as much as you can over a short weekend, it just depends the goal of your trip. But I would say on a short weekend trip, when you're trying to get things done, quick service is going to be your friend, you know, and also kind of just take advantage of where you are. You know, if you're at the Magic Kingdom and you want to get over to the Polynesian and have Captain Cook's, or go over to the Contempo Cafe at the Contemporary, that's fine. But, you know, just think about your options and, you know, take advantage of those. So, Pam, what's another do for these weekend trips?
So mine was sort of along the same lines as you, but try to come up with kind of a plan of where at least you'll be each day. And that way you can schedule your meals. You'll know where you want to eat based on that location. Like Mike said, you don't want to be spending a lot of time in transition. So like, you don't want to be at the Magic Kingdom and then want to dine somewhere, you know, have to leave to go dine somewhere over at Disney Springs. Try to cluster everything that you're going to do during really short trips, and you'll benefit from that.
All right, Ricky, give us, let's go with a don't this time. Is there something you would say is a don't for a weekend trip?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of goes along. Well, it's going to go along with another one that I have, but it's really a don't stress. You're really not going to see everything. And that's okay. You know, half the time I obviously, because it's a weekend trip, I don't see every single park. I pick the parks that have the things that I want to see. When we went down for, you know, Memorial Weekend, and they had just come out with all the stuff for Disney's Animal Kingdom, I knew that I wanted to see Disney's Animal Kingdom. However, that meant that I had to sacrifice something. So I ended up sacrificing, of course, Disney's Hollywood Studios. So just know that, you know, you're not going to get to every single park even. So don't stress about the fact that you're not going to get to see everything. These quick weekend trips are really just for sucking up as much, you know, Disney fun as you can. And don't stress about that.
And our good buddy Joe in the Facebook live chat from down in the ATL as well, Ricky, right there in your neighborhood, mm-hmm. one of our running lizards, you know, he kind of gives his due is to just assume that you're going to be back and don't run yourself into the ground, because, you know, then you're going to get home and be like, you know, oh man, it went so fast, but I didn't enjoy it, you know, because even though it's a short weekend trip, and we've, you know, the people that run Disney events, I mean, these weekends go by in a flash. It's ridiculous. It seems like your plane just landed and you're all of a sudden you're back on Magical Express heading to the airport, and you're just mm-hmm. like, your head's spinning. Like, how did 3 or 4 days go by so quickly? But the thing is, you know, if you're really pushing yourself, like, you got to see everything, kind of like you just said, Ricky, it just becomes a blur, where if you kind of slow down a little bit, you know, and just, mm-hmm. you know, be wise about it, I think you'll get more out of it. So Pam, do you have a don't for us?
Yes. So don't forget to build in some downtime. Even though it's a short trip, you are still, if you jam it full from, if you wake up every morning and don't go to bed till late every night, you're going to come home super exhausted, a little cranky, possibly hangry because you didn't get as many good meals as you wanted, right? So make sure that you take some time to do at least some of the more relaxing fun things, whether it's slow down and just, you know, suck in the atmosphere there at the TTA. I mean, don't skip that one just because it's a slow moving attraction through Tomorrowland. I mean, there's lots of big pluses for that. Don't, you know, forget to like sit down and enjoy a snack while you people watch for a little bit, or even some downtime at your pool. I mean, regardless of whether you're staying at a value or a deluxe resort, you paid to stay at that resort and enjoy the amenities there. So make sure you do that.
And that actually goes along with mine. But before that, I want to send a big shout out to Rogers McAfee, who's listening to us live while he sits on the boardwalk at Walt Disney World right now.
Oh, that's fun.
It's not fair. Awesome. It's so cold here and you're sitting on the, probably having Ample Hills. Well, even if you're not, don't tell me. I'm going to imagine that you're having an Ample Hills ice cream flight. Oh, I cannot wait to get back. Oh my gosh. 1 week from today. Anyway, focus, Mike. Focus. We got a podcast to do.
Focus.
Here's
dude.
My don't. Here's my, exactly. That's totally it. So my don't is this one. And Ricky, this one's kind of goes against you, but you have special circumstances. Is don't stay off site if possible on a quick weekend trip. Because, again, somebody mentioned this, either Pam or Ricky, you don't want to spend, as you know, a ton of time in transition. You want to make sure that you get where you're going and it's as efficient as possible. So if you're staying off site, while you may save, you know, maybe 20, 30, 50 bucks a night, you may lose, you know, maybe 6, 7, 10% of your overall time that you have allotted for the weekend in, you know, driving off property, and you're also paying to park. And so sometimes the bargain isn't what the bargain is. So, you know, don't stay off site. And so that would obviously be a do stay off site or on site if you possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Obviously, we always have special circumstances because either I'm staying with my brother or we're staying at the Hyatt. So I'm constantly staying offsite. So, you know, especially for these quick weekend trips, because I'm coming in and going out, and I'm not spending a lot of time in my hotel room. So I guess I guess mine would, you know, my suggestion would be do stay offsite because you're not going to be, I mean, we don't spend a lot of time in the room. So I would assume that a lot of other people don't either. So, you know, I mean, if you're not spending a lot of time in the room and you're looking to save some money, that's a good way to save some money too. So I guess it just depends on what kind of trip you're going to try to have. If you're not going to go back to your hotel, then there's really no need to stay on site either. So
that's a good point. It just depends. Yeah. If you're going to go back midday, it would make a difference. But if you're not going to go back midday, maybe not such a big deal. I don't know.
Right.
Something to think about.
Yes.
All right. So here, let's go through the do's again one more time through here. And I'm going to throw in a do. Do, if possible, rent a car. Because what you're going to do is you're going to put your schedule in your own hands. And as you know, now we have, you know, you even have more options now with the express bus service. You can pay a little bit extra and get a little bit, you know, quicker times between the theme parks themselves. But I've become a fan of renting a car just because as much as I love Disney transportation, you know, it's nice to be able to, you know, jump in your car that's parked right, especially if you're staying like at a value or a moderate where, you know, you can park the car basically right outside your room, hop in the car, you know, drive to Epcot, you know, maybe late in the day you can get a parking spot up close and bam, you're in the park really quickly. Same for the studios and Animal Kingdom. I just think that, again, gives you more options, gives you more control of your destiny where every hour counts. So Pam, how about giving us a do? What do you have?
So I will say, do try to pack lightly, especially for these quicker trips. The last thing you want to do is spend time and energy packing and unpacking, you know, once you get there, and then repacking when you go to leave and looking through a bunch of stuff to find what you need. I think on short trips, more so than long trips, it becomes really important to have a good game plan in your head, pack necessities, you know, those are priorities, and then leave some of those questionable things, you know, at home. You probably Absolutely. Won't need them and you don't want to have them, so.
I need to learn Absolutely. That. I'm still such an overpacker. Like, I thought it would get better now that I'm flying, but I still pack way too much. It's ridiculous. I don't,
yeah.
You know, I'm just, I hate getting down there and not having something I need, especially. Now, when you're running races, you got to kind of consider, like, you got to bring a couple, three pair of sneakers because, you know, especially if you're doing something like a challenge. What if it's raining one day? You don't want your feet to be wet the second day, you know, if your shoes don't dry out. And what if it gets cold or what if it's too hot? But I'm a terrible packer, man. I bring the kitchen sink. It's ridiculous. I got to stop that. I need to listen
yes,
to this
Yes, you
stuff.
Do. Yes, you do.
All right, Ricky, give us your next do for a weekend trip.
So, again, I feel like I'm contradicting you a little bit, Mike, but it kind of goes with something you said in a way or against something you said. And that's do know that you're going to get to eat. You know, I know that so many people, like you said, you know, of course you have the counter service options, and of course there's great counter service options at Walt Disney World, especially as of late. You know, they've come up with such great and innovative options for people to choose from. But if you are looking to make an ADR at a restaurant, you know, do know that you're going to, even if it's a last minute trip, I mean, I can't tell you, Brian and I all the time, we legit never have reservations for any restaurant, basically. Ever when we get down there, but we always make reservations kind of on the fly. So, you know, we'll wake up in the morning and Brian will be like, where do you want to go eat breakfast? And so we go and we look for a place that serves breakfast. And some of the best things that happen when we do this, when we just make ADRs on the fly, is that we find new places that we absolutely love. For example, I would have never thought about going to the Wave for breakfast, but you know, I'd heard that they had a good breakfast, whatever. So we decided, okay, let's try the Wave. We didn't have any reservation. Let's go ahead and see if we can get in. Of course we could get in because it's not a very popular restaurant for breakfast or, you know, whatever. So we got in and oh my gosh, it's now one of my favorite places to go for breakfast in the entirety of Walt Disney World. So, you know, do know that you're going to be able to eat somewhere and you may find a brand new favorite that you didn't know you were going to enjoy. So that's so huge, let me tell you.
That's a good tip. And also Rogers McAfee, who is sitting on the boardwalk, and it is hot. I hate to say that for everybody who's freezing here in the upper 48. But offering, you know, to take advantage of Uber. That's a great time saver on a quick weekend trip.
You guys don't want to hear my Uber story from this weekend, though. So.
No, we don't hear it. No. We'll hear it later. But yeah, no, I've used Uber successfully down at Disney many times, and it is cheap and it is efficient and it's great, especially when you want to go from place to place. And let me give you another tip. Like, if you're going to go, say, to Maya Grill with friends and have, like, a tequila flight, hey, it keeps everybody safe. You know, bottom line is, honestly,
true.
Nobody has to think about it, you know, and you can also take advantage of Disney transportation. But if we're looking for efficiency and saving time, Uber is a great tip. All right, so let's go with one more don't. Let's go through. Pam, you got another don't for us for these weekend trips?
I know it's, we've said it the same thing like three or four different ways, and I'm going to say it one more. Do not stress over the things you're not able to do. You're going to ruin your time if you spend a moment of it stressing about something. So this is all like when you're there for a quick weekend, it's all about go with what you can, don't worry about what you planned. Get the notion out of your head about, oh, this is how it's going to be. We're going to do this and say, push that all out of the way and just focus on being present in what you're able to do. I know that that's so hard to do because you've spent time or money or whatever on doing this, even though it's a short trip, but really just try. I mean, there's so much magic to be had. If you just focus on that, I think you'll be happy.
Here's another thing I have for a don't is don't try to chase down like a souvenir, like trying to find availability of a souvenir, like all over the place, because that can waste a lot of time. Do go to the Disney shop or shop Disney Parks app and order it on there and have it waiting for you at home when you get home. Plus, you don't have to mess with it at the airport. You're not going to break it. You're not going to lose it. Take advantage of the app and use technology. So do use the shop Parks shop Parks app. I can't remember what it's called. Something like that. Just you'll find it. All right, Ricky. So give us another do. I don't know if we're on do's or don'ts or whatever, but we're going to, you know, give us the last one. Then we'll kind of give a few tips for marathon weekend specifically.
Well, I had one in my mind and I forgot what it was.
That's awesome.
I was so happy about your Shop Disney Park app one that I was like, oh yeah, that's a really good one.
I just leave them speechless. That's what I do.
I mean, you do. Absolutely. I legitimately forgot about what my next one was going to be.
All right, so let's just do this. We'll just leave that in here because it is a holiday season and we're here for laughs. So anyway, let's kind of talk about that because we do this year. We have an unprecedented size crew going down for marathon weekend. And if you're not going down for a race weekend, you know, maybe someday you will be going for a race weekend. So give us just, you know, a few minutes here to speak with the folks who are heading down in the next week or two for this crazy marathon weekend. So Pam, what is something specifically you've learned, especially being a spectator, navigating, because marathon weekend is kind of a beast in its own right for this weekend.
It is. And I think, you know, the morning of the races, I think one of the things you have to realize is there will probably be some challenges with transportation. Not that you'll be super delayed or something like that, but if you're trying to get to the parks, there will be some roads that are closed because of the races. And that's something you just have to be aware of. They're going to be going different routes to kind of skirt those closures. And there just may be, you know, extra bus drivers who may not know the routes quite as well as some of the other ones do because they need additional drivers to help with transportation for the runners and other things. So just take that into consideration that there's going to be that kind of thing happening and just kind of, like we talked about, you know, on these short trips, go with the flow and just, you know, be glad you're there and hopefully all will go well for you.
Now, let me ask you this too, kind of following up on that one. You guys always rent a car, you know, and Steve likes to be, you know, have his car there and drive and take you guys whatever, you know, whenever you want. But have you found that Disney transportation is the way to go on those race mornings when you get out there to cheer? Because they do close roads, but they're open to the Disney buses, right?
Yeah, we try to, you know, get to where we're going to be cheering from before the roads close. And there actually is a time that's set up that you can ask the night before and say, okay, when will this road close? And then they'll give you that. And we try to drive because we did try taking Disney transportation once and then we ended up stuck at Epcot with all of humanity and Steve. Steve had challenges with that, I will say. So he was patient, but he just never wanted to do it again was his quote, I believe, at the end of that.
Trust me, I've been there and I'm usually sweaty and, you know, like just tore up by that point. So yeah, it doesn't matter. Boy, after running, you just don't want to be around 20,000 other people still waiting for a monorail. It's just not too much fun. All right, Ricky, what have you learned though about, you know, the marathon weekend specific, because you've run some and you've also spectated a lot. So what tips could you offer somebody maybe for a first marathon weekend?
For a spectator in general or for someone running?
Either way. I mean, you've done both sides of the coin here.
I have. So for the spectators, and it really does help the runners because I've been on this side, but really anything that you can do to get the runner pumped, you know, it really is a time when, you know, you are, depending on where you are in the cheering and spectating, the runner can be hurting, or, you know, just in a bad mental space or whatever. So I can't tell you how important it is to have, you know, something to make that runner excited. So whether it's a cowbell, or whether it's a Mickey glove giving a high five, or whether it's a sign, a really funny sign. And I bet if you Google, you know, good race signs, obviously you want it PG, you know, you don't want anything too terrible out there. But, you know, there are really good race signs that you can come up with. And there are some great ones that people are creative with as well. You know, some people bring food for the runners, you know, pretzel sticks, or, you know, various things like Twizzlers, various things like that. I can't tell you how important that is for a runner. You know, it's so important, and it can really get you going through the next little bit or whatever. And especially in some of those later miles, you are starving and you're just like, I just want food. So, you know, a pretzel stick or whatever, man, anything is good at that moment.
Turkey leg.
Yeah, exactly. It might be hard to have those for people, but, you know, as a spectator, I can't tell you how much joy it brings me to be able to be out there. Yes, Pam is right. It is so early that you have to get out there because Disney shuts off the roads and makes it difficult to, you know, obviously they need the roads available for the runners, but it makes it difficult for the spectators to get to where they're going. So they really have to get up as early as the runners do. And, you know, when you're doing it back to back to back to back 4 weekends in a row, because that's what we do, it does get to be also mentally draining for us as well. I know it sounds terrible, but because you're out there cheering and yelling, and, you know, your voice is getting hoarse, and but it's just as draining for us in a way as it is for the runners out there too. So but it's totally worth it. I have to say it's absolutely 100% worth it, and I love doing it every time.
And I love the stuff that you just said. I mean, that is absolutely 100% true, because I've done the half marathons, I've done the 5, the 10, the fulls, and I will tell you that not only is it awesome as a runner to see your loved ones, and also one of the tips I want to throw out there is if your loved ones are going to be out there, see if you can kind of have a good idea either through, you know, a text message or through a plan the day before.
Can I just tell you that if you have an iPhone, you know, Find My Friends is a fantastic app for that. So that we use that all the time on marathon weekend.
And I was going to say, too, the new Disney system now lets you track the runners throughout the race through the tracking system. So you can actually see an icon of where everybody is. So what you can do now, Joey did a great job, Joey Jones on our Lizards, put everybody into the system. And you could see everybody running each race where they were on the course, which was really
neat. That's really cool.
For Wine and Dine. That was really helpful. Yeah. So check out the Lizard page for that. But one of the things I'd say is just know where your loved one's going to be. I know that, you know, typically we have a good contingent for the longer races over at the TTC, which is an awesome. I don't want to give too much away for our first-time runners, but that is just, you don't think about the TTC as being a special place during the race. You're thinking of Cinderella Castle. You're thinking about other places. Just be ready. You're going to be blown away by the TTC. Love that. And we always have friends there. But also, if you're a runner, you know, appreciate the people who got up early in the morning and give them some love on the other side of the fence. You know, say thanks for coming out and, you know, high five and respond. But I'll tell you what, is somebody who's going to be yelling for the runners, yell for a complete stranger. Because here's the thing is, like, if you can see somebody, especially somebody that may be hurting or having a hard time, you know, through their running experience, the first names are on the bibs. So if you can see, I can tell you, you know, there have been times where I was hurting during a race and somebody yells out, Mike, I have no idea who they are, and they have no idea who I am. I know that. But you know what? They took the time to say, Mike, you're going to make it. Hang in there. You're doing great. This person doesn't know me from anybody. And you know what? When somebody's willing to give me some props there to get me to the finish line and I have no idea who they are, that makes my heart full. And that can carry me for a mile or two. So yell for somebody that you don't know. It makes everybody feel good. The runner, you'll feel good. It's a really cool thing. And, you know, just enjoy yourself. Because the thing is, you know, I've tried to tell this to people because I was on this side of the fence many years ago when I ran the half marathon back in 2011. I wasn't going home until Sunday evening. I was going to leave. And so on Sunday, Marathon Sunday, I was down there and I just wanted to watch the end of the the full marathon. So I got to see people finishing the Goofy at that time. There was no Dopey. But I was standing there with Deb Wills, and we were watching people coming in, and she was cheering for her, you know, All Ears team, and I was cheering for them as well, you know, and it was fun seeing this. But I'll tell you what, I still remember, it was so cold that Sunday, but I still remember standing there, and the stuff I see that I saw, those folks that were hurting and coming in, but they were getting it. You know what? They had run 39.0 miles at that point. They had like 0.3 to go to finish the Goofy. Some people were finishing their first marathons. You saw tears. You saw skipping. You saw every emotion in the book, and I mean raw emotions, you know, right there close to Spaceship Earth and Epcot as people were doubling back and getting right across that finish line. I'm telling you, if you need a shot of your human spirit, if you need just a little bit of good in the world, and I'm not saying this, I'm running it because I'm telling you, I got more, I think, out of it as a spectator than I did finishing the race. Go to Epcot on Marathon Sunday and just watch people coming in. It is amazing because you don't know the stories behind every one of those runners. You know, sometimes, I mean, a lot of times you have people that have overcome cancer or, you know, that have gone through drastic changes in their lifestyles, or maybe they're running in memory of somebody that is no longer with them. And it's,
I mean, when you see the last year, there was the guy who, you know, had you know, artificial legs, and you know, he was, you know, it was like the spring type leg. I'm sure those have an actual name, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to be insensitive, I just don't know what they're called. But it was that type of artificial leg, and he was doing the Dopey, and it just, so like, I had tears in my eyes, you know, just like you said, Mike, because I was so proud that he was out there and doing this, and it was so incredible to watch that he did the Dopey and it was just an amazing feat. It was so incredible.
Yeah, I ran near him for miles, and it was amazing because he had kind of a couple friends there on each side of, you know, one on each side kind of supporting him, but he didn't use them, and he was just amazing. Like the pace he was, I was having a hard time keeping with
him. Yeah,
it was amazing, and just dedication. But you'll see that. So even, you know, I know where somebody could say, oh my gosh, I booked my trip in January thinking there's going to be nobody there, and I accidentally booked it during marathon weekend, you know, because that stuff happens all the time, you know, it just does. And this is kind of like Pam always says, you know, you can't stress those kind of things. Take the lemons and make lemonade out of them. And I'll tell you what, if you're there and even if you have kids, because of course they're going to want to ride rides and stuff, just take 15 minutes and watch the racers, because again, there's so many lessons, especially you can teach kids about perseverance and determination and sticking with a goal. And it's amazing to see, you know, I like doing the races. And as kind of, I look back, it's not so much training. It's not so much the medals or anything like that. It's the, you know, I'm like surrounded by people that are inspiring me, especially our running team. But I mean, just the whole deal, like it's awesome. Everybody's going to get you. And one other thing real quick, I know I'm kind of going long here, but
I have a tip too.
Okay, let me throw this one in. Yeah. For the Lizards, just don't sweat it. You're going to get there because our team is so loving and caring, because there's been two races now that I didn't think I was going to finish. And Phil and Scott and other folks got me to the line because I was not going to make it. You know, as much as I had trained, I wasn't going to make it, but
I made it to the line. I was there too.
Sure. Yeah, so
Florence and Jocelyn and Naomi got me to the finish.
Yeah,
so
we got a great team. So great, Ricky, give one more, then let Pam close us out, and we'll turn everybody loose.
My tip is not as, you know, heartfelt as all the rest of these things that we've been talking about, but you know, as someone who, this is more for the runners, and as someone who has been out there, and obviously we're you know, using a lot of our phones, you know, whether it's music streaming or, you know, we're taking pictures or, you know, we're posting on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. The one thing that I can really suggest, and I know it seems kind of silly, but it just pick up a small, and even if you want to do the fuel rod, pick up just a small portable charger, and make sure you bring a cord with you, because you're going to need that. But really, that can help so much, because the worst, I mean, as a runner, the worst thing that can happen to you while you're out on the run and you still need to be pumped or whatever, and oh my gosh, I have no more music or whatever is getting me through these run experiences, like that's the worst thing ever. So make sure you bring some sort of backup battery.
Yeah, you got to have Runkeeper lady telling you, you know, I got to have her tell me when to run and walk. Well, if I didn't have her, I'd be lost. Like, what am I doing now? Skipping, you know, hopping, doing the bunny hop? I don't know.
So really, it's something that you don't think about when you're packing. You're like, okay, I need shoes, I need socks, I need, you know, goo, I need whatever. just seriously, pack a small little portable battery charger and your cord, and I promise you will be so happy.
And a tip for that too is if you have a friend or family on the course, you know, maybe they could give it to you at like mile 4. Yeah. You could juice up into like mile 10, then ditch it. You know what I'm saying? Because that's, you don't care it the whole race. And you can actually do that with, like, you know, like I'm planning on running in a jacket from the start of the race to like the TTC, but then ditching it at the TTC because that's mile 4. So by then I'll be warm and I don't have to carry it for the next 22 miles. So that's a way you can do something without throwing stuff out. All right. So Pam, give us a kind of a final tip for marathon weekend, and then let's have a great, it's Christmas weekend. Let's do it.
And it is.
It is Christmas weekend. So I'm just going to say that it's just another reminder to try to expect that there will be some little kinks in the system. I mean, when you're dumping that many more people into a park, especially like when you have like the marathon that ends right there at Epcot, you'll find that the crowds are going to ebb and flow. And at some point you're going to be like, oh my gosh, like I thought that, you know, that this was going to be a time that wasn't quite so busy, and now it's a hot mess in this park. You know what? Just know that typically when the runners are running, that the evenings will be a lot less crowded than maybe the early afternoons, because they get tired because they're either running or they they're running the next day or they have run. So anyways, the evenings are going to be a little less crowded in that space for you to think about. So just again, just go with the flow. It'll all be okay and things will even out a little bit, but enjoy the time because it really is cool. You know, we've been there for, I think, just about, you know, every marathon weekend for the past, gosh, I can't even think of how long.
Yeah.
Going way back. But anyways, it's really been a great experience to see, you know, the people that we know and the people that we don't know, to be able to cheer and do that. It's just a very, as Mike said, a very heartwarming experience to get to watch that. And people really are appreciative of that. It's so funny, you know, when we're there, especially in the morning, sometimes it gets a little monotonous to be clapping and cheering and saying that. But we always, I know, I always try to pick out someone who looks like they're just struggling at whatever point we're at and find some way to call them out. If I can see their name, I do it. If they have a costume on, I do it, or whatever. And just say,
oh, those costumes are so awesome too.
Or just say something to like keep them going. Cause I, you know, it's a challenge and some people are really struggling with it emotionally, physically, or whatever. They're, you know, one is not any more valid than the next. And just to be able to say, hey, you know, you're doing it. You're going to be able to do this. You're looking good or whatever. Right up there is something. And the number of people who stop and say, thank you so much for doing that, or, you know, thanks for being out here or whatever. So anyways, it's a very cool experience and, you know, looking forward to it again this year.
Can't wait. And one other thing you said, you know, the parks are generally lighter in the evenings, but the restaurants are packed in the evenings with the runners.
Absolutely.
Because runners run to eat. So I'm just telling you, if you want a particular restaurant, you should have made that ADR a couple months back, because we couldn't even get boat rides last year. Come on now, rides. We couldn't even get, we ended up going to Olivia's and that was good. So you got to, you know what? You got to think outside the box over these race weekends, you know, where you're going to eat, especially at resorts. So, all right, well, now I'm really pumped for marathon weekend. I can't wait. I'm actually more excited to watch, but apparently I don't get to watch since I'm doing all four races. Dang, what am I thinking?
Nope.
One of these days. Anyway, don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time to book that next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line vacation, check out the great agents over at the Magic for Less. And it's not too late. Actually, it's a perfect time. You know what? Because it is crunch time. If you've waited till today, I mean, this is it, you know, and it's like, it's the 23rd. I mean, come on now. It's like, time's up. You know, the buzzer's about to go off. We're down to like almost, you know, double zeros on the clock. You could still save Christmas by dropping by the Magic for Less.
Yes, you could.
You could still be the best gift giver ever. Drop by the magicforless.com. An agent will get back to you right away. And you could plan that 2017 vacation, wrap up a guidebook, put it under the tree. You are the best ever. So no kidding. Drop by the magicforless.com. They're going to give you great first class service each and every time over at the magicforless.com. Also, we're brought to you by Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. So when it comes time for a second set of eyes to help guide you into next year. Support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at AmeriPrizeAdvisors.com/drew.baker. All right, give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike, and we're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your weekend. Thank you so much for tuning in. We wish everybody a very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and just a great start, you know, wrapping up to 2016, and we're going to kick off 2017 in an amazing way as well. So enjoy that time with friends and family, and as always, thank you so much for letting the Be Our Guest podcast be a part of your times here. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.